reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Jeremiah. It's found on page 839 in your pew Bibles, and we read Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning at verse 7. Thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth. Among them, the blind and the lame, the pregnant woman and she who is in labor. Together, a great company, they shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with pleas for mercy I will lead them back. I will make them walk by brooks of water, in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn son. This is the word of the Lord. Our second lesson is from Hebrews chapter 7. It's found on page 1288 in your pew Bibles. And we read Hebrews 7 beginning at verse 23. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he, this is speaking of Jesus, holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Mark. Page 1083 in your pew Bibles, and we read Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 46. They came to Jericho, and as Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you. From God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson for today. In particular, the words of Jesus to blind Bartimaeus, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." This is our text. But what does it mean? The context of our gospel lesson for today gives some added insight into what those words of Jesus, "Your faith has made you well," means. Jesus is preparing to enter into Jerusalem as he's walking outside of Jericho. And the manner in which he is walking is a little bit interesting. If you go back just a few verses before our gospel lesson for today, this is the last time that Jesus is going to Jerusalem. And three times he's told now his disciples that he's going there to die. In the words of Mark 10, verse 34, "And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise." Jesus has made it very clear why he is going to Jerusalem. But he's also very clear that he is a man on a mission. As he's walking in that direction, again a little bit earlier in the gospel lesson, and they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and then Jesus was walking ahead of them. And they were amazed. And those who followed were afraid. So just kind of picture this in your minds for a minute. Jesus is telling them, "Hey, I'm going there to die." And it's like he's outrunning everybody to get there. He is a man on a mission. He comes to Jericho, and he, along with probably thousands of pilgrims, are there on the way going up to Jerusalem. Literally, the population of Jerusalem would swell by about 1 million people during the Passover feast. Imagine how many people are walking along that road, leading out of Jericho, going up to Jerusalem. And if you were a beggar, where would you position yourself? Well, it only makes sense. Get on the road going from Jericho up to Jerusalem, maybe just outside of Jericho, because a lot of beggars had diseases and stuff like that. They couldn't be in the town. And wait for somebody to show you some kindness. And thousands upon thousands of people will be passing by. And my guess is they had learned to ignore those beggars. And then finally, one of the people passing by is Jesus, with all the crowds following him. The next event you read in the gospel is the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Thousands upon thousands are following him, and he is leading the way, marching up to Jerusalem. And yet, while probably thousands of beggars are lining the road, only one is calling out to him, Bartimaeus. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the reaction of the crowds is this: and many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. Jesus is on a mission. He does not have time for you. Shut up. You're interrupting what is going on. But of undoubtedly all the beggars that are lining that road going up from Jericho to Jerusalem, Bartimaeus keeps calling out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stops. He's on his mission to save the world, and for one of many beggars, he stops. Why? Because that beggar was calling to him. What is the faith that makes us well? It's essentially belief in two things. It's knowing who Jesus is. And no matter what your problem, and no matter who tells you calling to Jesus will be useless, be it the devil, the world, or even your own conscience, you never stop calling. Believing that this God we know through Jesus Christ cares, he will hear and he will help. After all, this God whom we worship through Jesus loves us so much that not by some accident of history or some unfortunate turn of events, but by his own will and determination, he sends his Son to Jerusalem to suffer and to die and to pay not for his own sins, but for ours. And as the Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans 8, "He who does not spare his own Son, but graciously gives him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" You got a problem, call to Jesus. That is where the answer is. And if he doesn't seem to be responding, keep on calling and keep on searching the scriptures. And he will deliver you. That's what faith is. But that is not the way our world operates. I was looking for some statistics on church attendance the other day. A reference to it's included in your stewardship letter if you want to look up the actual stats. But the numbers, at least in the area north of the equator, are not good. Interestingly, south of the equator, Africa, South America, Christianity is growing mightily. But north of the equator, it is declining along with most religious preferences. Between 2007 and 2014, if you look at Christianity in all its various forms, Mormons, which we may not necessarily classify them in the same grouping as evangelicals or Catholics or mainline Protestants, but at least that's what the survey did. And when I looked at all those various groups and asked the question, which one of them between 2007 and 2014 showed an increase, the answer was none. There are some religious groups in the United States that are growing, Muslims, Hindus, but actually not very much. The three fastest growing religious preferences in the United States are atheist, agnostic, and the one growing the most rapidly, and it's quite rapidly, is nothing in particular. Jesus is present, though, all over. He's present in the Word and Sacrament and in and amongst Christians who gather together like we here this morning. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. He's literally passing by. But no one's calling. And yet when you look out into our world, our culture, especially north of the equator, who would dispute that our world is changing in horrendous ways? Families disintegrating. Children who grow up in our culture today often don't know where they're going to spend the night. Is it going to be this home, that home? Because so few have two committed parents living together. Drug addiction, alcoholism. Name the social problem that isn't growing in our midst. But increasingly, Jesus is not seen as the answer. In fact, when you drove here this morning, I don't think any of you looking out walked here this morning. When you drove here this morning, how many cars did you see pulling out of their garage? About, again, just going off of statistics, but when they actually look at church attendances in a given area, in our nation today, roughly only 17% of Americans are in church in a given week. I guess only 17% of us really need Jesus, right? So many beggars along the road. And yet it's only Bartimaeus calling out. Were they silenced by the crowds, or just didn't think it was worth calling out to Jesus? I don't know. But the same problem not only affects the world around us, it also creeps into our own lives. How often don't we have problems? And instead of sitting down and searching out the scriptures and saying, Lord, what do I need to do? Or maybe going to a fellow Christian and saying, dear friend Christian, I'm having these problems in my life. I need you to help me sort them out. Tell me what Jesus can do for me. Tell me what Jesus wants me to do. Or calling your pastor. Does it really matter what problem you're having in your life? Is there something that Jesus can't fix? I know you'd all probably say, no, Jesus can help me in any area of my life. But how many times when you're having problems in your various areas of life do you actually call upon him? Not just a prayer saying, God, can you miraculously fix this with no intervention of anybody else? But a prayer more like, God, stop, show me the way. Show me the resources around me that I can call upon so that you can help me with this difficulty. Yes, even we as Christians who know the power of God to save, sometimes just sit silently and let Jesus walk on by without calling to him. What is the faith that makes us well? It's the faith of Bartimaeus. When the world was telling him, be quiet, don't call on him, God's too busy for you, or God can't help you, or he doesn't care, Bartimaeus just kept calling. He would not be silenced. And he's as he promises to do for all who call upon him. The Lord heard, the Lord answered, and the Lord made him well, as he will do for all who call upon him in every trouble. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.